Welcome to the Chasing Freedom Show. I'm Noah Evans, and on this show, I'm going to creatively break down real estate deals with top investors across the country to help you become closer to achieving financial freedom. Alrighty, let's get to it. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Chasing Freedom Show. Today, I've got a very, very, very special guest. You know him, you love him, Mr. Justin Martin. What's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Dude, I'm excited to do a little deal deep dive with you today. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited, too.
So Justin has been absolutely killing it. He's been locking up deals left and right. We just went through a big company change, and so definitely nerve-wracking on my part to sit there and be like, okay, we just had this conversation in our meeting today. Full transparency, I was terrified, right? Like, we did this huge split of our company. A bunch of people, unfortunately, had to be let go. We retained the best ones, in my opinion. And then, we had to figure out how do we go from these old projects, finish them up with the old company, but at the same time, start this new company and line up enough projects to cover overhead and expenses and payroll and all these things. And that has to happen quick, right? Because your expenses keep going, but your revenue doesn't.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? You know, it's like we went back to a true startup, which was really stressful for everybody. Mm-hmm. But kudos to you because without you, this would have been a lot harder. So I just want to tell you that, dude, one, I appreciate you, and two, you killed it because you kept us going by locking up enough projects. So nice job.
You got me blushing over here.
Put those rosy cheeks away, bro. So I want to do a deal deep dive. Is there a particular deal that you felt like, man, we should go over that one? That one's really cool. Or is there something that jumps out at you?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I think our most recent one that we just locked up or just closed on today, the one in Caldwell with the lot line adjustment. I think that's a cool one. Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that one is. There was a lot of hoops to jump through, a lot of issues on that, a lot of unforeseen things. But we got it done, yeah. Right? We just did the wire this morning, and it closes today.
Yeah.
So that's a cool one. Yeah, so why don't we talk about it? How did you find that one?
Yeah, so how did I get that one? I actually was calling a list of realtors that I think you guys purchased a while back and just never touched. And doing a transition, it was like, okay, how can we bring in revenue without spending the most money? And it was just picking up the phone and then reaching out to agents. So I reached out probably to about 300, 400 agents. Actually had about a solid good conversations with like 20 of them, and one of them, his name was Todd. And I just ended up calling him at the right time. I mean, that deal had actually fell through with a buyer because they couldn't get it appraised. So he was like, hey, you know, I've heard of you guys in the market. I know Noah. He's a good guy. You guys check it out. Let me know what you think and come back with an offer. So.
I like that. And I want to point something out. You said you had made 300 to 400 dials, mm-hmm. right? Guys, this takes work.
Yeah.
There's no shortcuts. And there are lucky breaks. And a lot of times on a lot of these other shows, you hear about people who, you know, on their first call, got the one realtor with a pocket listing, locked it up, made 50K. Mm-hmm. And that's not, to me, those happen. Awesome. You just got a blessed day. Congratulations.
Yeah.
But that's not realistic. What you're talking about is realistic. 300 to 400 dials. And what was most of those agents' responses? Like, let's give them the real side of it.
Yeah. Honestly, it's similar to what sellers may say. You know, I'm not interested. I don't have anything for you. A big one that I came across was, hey, if I get a property, I'm going to take it down myself. So there's no need for me to give it to you.
Which is funny, because if that was true, there'd be a lot more flippers.
Exactly.
So I did think that I find that funny, especially if there's agents listening. You know, we'd love for you to send some feedback into the show. Tell us why this would be a response from an agent. But it's kind of funny, for you're basically a cash buyer calling agents, telling them, I'm here to buy your property cash and make this the quickest, easiest transaction you've ever done. You'll get paid in 15 days or less. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there saying, if I find a property like that, I'll take it down myself. And then you go look at their listing transaction history. And they've listed two distressed properties in the last 24 months. They didn't take it down themselves.
Yeah.
We could see it all on the MLS. It's just kind of funny. You know what I mean?
Stop the cap.
You did it. You completed those calls over the course of, what was that, about 30 days or so probably?
Yeah, about 30 days or less, yeah.
30 days or less. Mm-hmm. And within those 300 calls, 20 good conversations. One of them actually ended up having a pocket listing, as you said. Mm-hmm. We went and walked it. We locked it up. What metrics did we use to lock it up? What did that process look like?
Yeah, so we actually have a built-in calculator into our system that we just, once we are able to determine what the back-end value is or the ARV, We take that and we plug that into the calculator with the estimated repairs that we may think it is, and then it actually spits out a offer price for us.
Spits out a couple, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got your max allowable offer, a second offer, and then your lowest amount.
Mm-hmm. Where do you usually start?
I start with the lowest.
Why do you do that?
I like to reset the seller's expectations. And, you know, of course, there's leave a little bit more meat on the bone, because you never know when we're when you're flipping houses. At any time, something can go wrong. So you always want to leave a little bit of wiggle room in your repair sheet or your repair estimate.
Yeah, absolutely. And we definitely had some things go wrong in this transaction, right?
Yeah, a lot.
Even just coming up to closing.
Yeah.
So we ended up locking that thing up for
412.
Mm-hmm. No, we originally it was 420,000.
Yeah, 420.
420. And then we actually had to go back and renegotiate, right? And then what did we end up getting it for after that?
Yeah, so after renegotiation, we pick it up for 412.
412. So we got like $8,000 off, huh?
$8,000 off, yeah. And then, or go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, we even got a commission because you're an agent.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
This is probably, man, this is the first time in a transaction where I haven't given away the buy side of the commission, even though we're the buyers. Mm-hmm. I usually give that away. But on this one, we were able to collect it. I felt like we were paying a pretty fair market price for what the asset's currently worth, mm-hmm. Which is interesting, right? Why were we able to pay so close to market value on this one? What'd you find out?
Yeah, so looking at the property, so it's actually a single family home in a duplex, and they share the lot, but the way the lot line is actually drawn, it creates an opportunity for us to do a lot line adjustment and sell those properties off separately. So now we can sell a single family home off as one, and then we can go back and sell a duplex off as one as well, too.
How'd you figure that out, man? Because most people would have looked at this and said, it's a triplex, mm-hmm. and they're asking 420 for it, and I can't pay 420 for this type of triplex. Most people would have said it just financially doesn't pencil. How did you figure out that there was another opportunity?
Yeah, so actually once Todd kind of gave me a little brief rundown of the situation, I went to the county website and I actually looked at the lot line myself, and I can tell that it was off. And then what I did was I just picked up the phone, called the city, told the city about the situation, and asked, hey, what can we do here? She said the best thing for you to do is actually to apply for a lot line adjustment and just split it right down the middle. As long as it meets the setback and the requirements, which it does, that's why we purchased it, because we had a due diligence period mm-hmm. to figure that out, you'll be good to go.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. And I want to point something out, too. So much of real estate is mindset, and we forget that. We think it's all the tangibles, right? But it's not. Mm-hmm. We would have missed out on this deal if all we looked at was the tangibles. Yeah. But we went a little deeper. We were curious, we asked more questions, and we dug in, and most of all, you took action. Mm-hmm. Instead of sitting there saying, well, I don't know, man, it would be cool if that could work out, but how would we know? You just picked up the phone, you called the city, you asked some questions, and actually, this lady was super helpful. She sent you a whole freaking list of everything to do.
Yeah, she sent me everything step by step.
That was cool. We were kind of lucky on that one. They usually don't do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we find out it can be split. What were some of the challenges we ran into in running those comps after that split, right? Because we're buying one thing. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to turn it into two things. So how did you run those comps? What did you do?
Yeah, so I just it's real simple. All right, so we're splitting one as a single-family home, and then we're splitting the other one as a duplex because mm-hmm. it's actually a duplex. So I ran comps for single-family homes to see what they would be worth, and then I ran comps for duplexes to see what they would be worth. And,
yeah.
Made a few adjustments based off the situation that it's in, and just kind of got my numbers from there.
Yeah, I like that. So what do you think that house is going to be worth by itself?
I think safely we can probably sell our house for about $350,000.
Okay, you think so?
Yeah.
And then what do you think that duplex? What do you think we're going to get on that duplex?
It's questionable.
It's hard to say.
I think we can need to get anywhere from up from $400 all the way up to $450 for the duplex.
Think so?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I like it. Comping was definitely difficult, right? Because what are the triplexes comp out for in that area?
Man, triplexes, what were they? Maybe like, was it like $400,000 for a triplex or something like that?
I think it was like five. There's a couple that were more conforming than ours. Mm-hmm. So they were going for about $525. Mm. I don't think we would have gotten $525.
Yeah.
I think we realistically get maybe like $490, $500. Yeah.
That's right, still not bad. But
no, it's not.
Yeah.
And that brings us to another really, really important point, especially about like difficult or different deals with a lot of hoops to jump through like this one, which is having multiple exit strategies. So what happens if our lot line adjustment split fails?
We just sell it as a triplex.
We'll still walk away okay,
yeah.
Right? Like we're not going to lose money on it. Mm-hmm. So we have another exit, still make money. What happens if we also decide that we can't sell it?
Hold it.
We'll hold it.
It cash flows.
It cash flows. It pencils as a rental, yep. Which is crazy. In this market, you just don't find that.
I know.
It's wild, dude. Let's talk about what that split looks like. So we redo the lot line adjustment. Got a couple things to jump through. Mm-hmm. But at the end of, I mean, like, what are some of the tangible things we learned we were going to have to do in that split?
Yeah, so I think it's on separate. I think it shares, is it water and power?
Mm-hmm. Water and sewer.
Water and sewer. So we're going to have to get separate power meters if we do get the split approved. So I think that's one thing. We got to get the engineer. They have to resketch up some things and go out there and do some surveys. And what else? I think that's about it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the biggest thing was we have to separate out the sewer. The
sewers, yeah.
And the water. They have, it, in order to sell them separately, no one's going to want to buy a house with a shared sewer and water line to the neighbor because you're not going to own both of them. Yeah. So
good thing about this, too, is this is my first time ever doing something like this, so I'm learning as we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, me personally, I feel like this could be a pretty interesting niche. Right, because we're not really going to do a ton of rehab to the properties. Not that they couldn't use it, right? Like, we could definitely rehab the properties and flip them. But in this particular situation, it's not where the most value add is done. So why go force a bunch of extra time, energy, and effort into something that doesn't add equal value?
Exactly, yeah.
Dollar for dollar, we're going to get more just doing the lot line adjustment, selling the assets separately. But what I loved about this one was, and the reason I felt comfortable taking this one down, because absolutely it's a risk, right?
Yeah.
Like, we can get halfway through and the city says, you know what, I know we said this, we're changing our mind. We're not going to give you the variance on the lots. We're not going to allow you to do the lot line adjustment. But the real safety in it is, this thing on a 5-year interest-only loan or whatever it may be, 10-year interest-only loan or even 30-year AM, is still going to cash flow like $400 or $500 a month.
Yeah.
And now our intention right now isn't to necessarily hold this asset, but it's an option that exists if everything goes sideways, which it could. You always got to plan for it.
Yeah.
So
options, having options, that's the key.
Yeah, exactly. So in hindsight, what are some things you maybe would have done differently on this deal? Because I mean, closing got extended time and time and time again. The lender had a lot of issues, right? Because they were, it was like we were speaking Chinese to them.
Yeah.
They did not understand the fact that this was two parcels, two properties, but yet both the properties are on the same parcel. One of the parcels is super oddly shaped and it's super small. Mm-hmm. And like, there's like maybe 1/5 of one of the properties on this one parcel. They couldn't figure out, like, it was like they had never looked at real estate before, man. I don't understand. But like, they were like, I don't know. It's a single family house and it's a duplex. How do we assign a value to this? It's a commercial valuation. I'm like, no, comp the single family home, comp the duplex.
Yeah.
And if you don't like doing that, comp it as a triplex. Mm-hmm. Bro, they came back with their comps. And if you remember, they had one triplex on there and three duplexes. Mm-hmm. And that's how they came up with their valuation, completely ignoring 1/3 of the assets that we're buying. Mm-hmm. They're basically giving it a duplex value and ignored the single family home value.
Yeah.
Which put us in an interesting situation because then the lender refused to give us a rehab line and required us to bring more cash down. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, it... Real estate deals are not meant to be easy, but this one didn't need to be that hard, right? So, I mean, I don't know. Curious on your perspective from you watching everything I had to go through to close it, me watching everything you had to go through to close it, what's something you would think as a team we could have done differently?
You know, honestly, I think as a team we did everything that we could have done to make it go the way that it happened. And like you said, I mean, real estate's not easy, and, you know, problems are going to pop up regardless. And I think the lender situation, that kind of wasn't our fault because I think we presented with them everything that they needed to make a clear decision. It's just on their end, they just made it more difficult than they could have. But I don't know, maybe speaking to the engineer first and maybe getting a sketch of the lot line and presenting that to them, saying, hey, this is what the engineer said can be done. This is the single family home. This is the duplex. You know, there's no need to get confused as to making this one piece as commercial. So maybe that would have helped a little bit.
Yeah, I actually really like that idea of being more proactive and going out and getting the sketches from the engineer first, the survey and the lot line and everything, and turning that in. One thing I found in real estate, which is super backwards, but sometimes less is more. So I feel like maybe one of my mistakes was I shouldn't have opened my mouth on the fact that we were going to split this. I kind of regret that. I feel like I should have just been like, hey, it's a triplex. We're buying it for $412,000. It's worth $520,000. That's it.
Boom.
Simple as that. It's a bridge loan. I'm going to put some paint on it and fix it up and put nice tenants in it, and I'll turn around and sell it, or I'll turn around and refinance it and keep it. That's it. That's all you need to know. Because I feel like the minute I was like, I'm doing a lot split and I'm going to sell the house separately, then sell the duplex separately, they're like, oh, I don't know anything about any of that. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you don't need to. The asset is worth less, or I'm buying it for less than it's worth. Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that was probably my, sometimes I'm a chatterbox and I just divulge too much information.
Yeah, you do talk a lot every now and then. That's what makes you you, though.
It is true. Yeah, but you got to be careful and aware of your situation. Yeah. Situationally aware.
Awareness. You just learned that, though, at your, you went to Austin for training.
I did, man. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So, yeah, we, me and Tarl Yarber went out to sheepdog response training in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. Learned how to shoot guns properly, identify targets quickly, defend yourself if someone tries to pull out a pistol versus a knife. A little bit of ground grappling. It was pretty cool. I got my butt handed to me more than one time. Yeah. Tarl had some fun pinning me down. One of the vets had me pinned down, just slamming my head into the freaking mat a bunch of times.
Tarl, if you listening, Noah wants his payback.
No, no, I don't,
He's
Tarl.
Coming back for you.
I'm good, bro. I don't want to do it again. It was funny though. A lot of that course to me related back to real estate. Mm-hmm. And this probably like, it's just my subconscious is always thinking about the business and always thinking about real estate. So I probably just relate everything back to it. I can hear something in church, but oh, that relates to real estate. But yeah, it was funny. There was this video of this little girl. She was getting picked on at school. Her dad didn't like that. School wasn't doing anything. Dad enrolled her in jiu-jitsu classes. 3 weeks of training. The next time the bully went to pick on her, which was like a male teenager, like twice her size. Totally not a fair fight, right?
Yeah.
3 weeks of training. He goes to grab her by the hair. It's all on video on the school cameras. He grabs her by the hair. She breaks his grip off of her hair. She does the freaking double under, takes him down by collapsing his knee behind him, takes him to the ground while he's down, flying knee to his face, knocks him out.
What?
Gets up immediately and runs. These are all the things she was taught in 3 weeks in jiu-jitsu. What I thought was so interesting about this is, from the perspective of watching that video, you thought, oh my gosh, this girl's about to get handed to her, right? Because of the size difference. So we made assumptions, right? We assumed she was going to lose that fight. 3 weeks of preparing for this type of situation allowed her to get out unharmed and get away. So I thought that was so interesting in business. What could 3 weeks of training or educating yourself on a super deep level on whatever it is you're about to go into, how could that change the circumstances for you?
Drastically.
And I thought, when I look back on it, it's like so many people are afraid to get started because they're afraid of how much work is in it. Mm-hmm. But man, look what 3 weeks did for that little girl in terms of training. Got her out of a fight unbruised and unscratched. And
saved her life.
Saved her life. Who knows how bad that could have gotten, right? And so I think about that sometimes in real estate. I've jumped into deals where I wasn't prepared. I didn't have all the answers. But what would just 3 weeks of educating myself on that topic then. It could have changed the deal, right? And I've been lucky. I've only lost money on one or two deals before, so I call that a big win for the amount of deals we've done. But it's like now I'm looking at it. We're looking at going into different asset classes and doing different things, and it's like, okay, spend the time to educate myself and you guys so we're a little bit more prepared when the opportunity presents itself. Because as we also know, like being prepared presents even more opportunities.
Yeah.
Look at this property we just talked about for the last 20 minutes. We would have, if all I knew was that that could be a triplex, would we have bought it?
Not at all.
No, it didn't have enough. It's fine because it's a great exit strategy for safety, but it's not something I would have intentionally purchased at that price for just simply a triplex.
Yeah.
We'll make it work if that's the event, if that's how the circumstances play out. But there's a huge upside because we were prepared. Because why? Because we've looked at other properties with lot splits before. Because we've been on the phone with the city. I don't know how many hours we spent on the phone with the city, right? Going back and forth and trying to figure stuff out. And also, it's all fresh in our mind. Because we have a duplex project in Boise that we're taking as a current duplex and we're splitting it into townhomes. We're already going through it. We've spent the time being educated on that process, and now this thing came up. Boom.
It's like the universe just blessed you.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, you got through this one. Here's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Then here's another one.
And it's kind of cool, too, because right after this podcast, I got to go call one of the plumbers who's going to trench a line at the duplex from underneath the house to the street. So the guy who goes and does the sewer tap can connect it, and we got a new sewer connection. Look at the economies of scale. Is that not the same exact thing we're going to do with this Caldwell triplex?
Yep.
Blessings, right? Because, I'm not going to lie. Like, dude, the amount of time, energy, and effort it took me to understand the townhouse split was pretty drastic because I wasn't prepared and I had to jump into it unknowing of the situations and the things that presented or the things that were in front of me. But now with the Caldwell one, we're ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
We've been through it. We've done it. We understand it. We get it. We're ready to go.
It's kind of like everything that you just went through, you were meant to go through it to get to this point. So
it gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
You think about it. It's like sometimes we complain that stuff is hard. I don't think we should be complaining. We should be counting the things that are hard as our blessings because they prepare us for bigger and better things. What happens if in 6 months an opportunity is thrown our way with $500,000 on the back end in profit, and then all we got to do is split up 2 4-unit apartment complexes, and you know maybe there's another thing to be built on each one of them.
Yeah, we're ready for it.
Ready.
Yeah,
we've been doing it, and none of it's easy. All of it's stressful. All of it makes us feel uncomfortable. Right? And it makes us feel uncomfortable. And we did 30 flips last year, and it's still, some of the stuff still makes me feel uncomfortable, but we keep moving and we keep progressing and we keep educating and yeah. We keep pushing it. It's not meant to feel good.
No, it's not.
You know?
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast this morning, Ed Mylett. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was just basically talking about how everything in life is temporary. You know, what you're going through is temporary. Your body is temporary. So don't get caught up in it.
I like that. Yeah, it's funny because that goes both ways. You know, I've been on a freaking roller coaster ride of emotions over the last 6 months.
Yeah.
I've been on top of the world, and then I had the world on top of me. And I've been back on top of the world, and had that world back on top of me. And a lot of it is exactly what Ed Mylett is saying, right? But I think it also applies to success. Mm-hmm. Success is never permanent, and failure is never fatal, mm-hmm. unless you don't get back up. Mm. I think that's an important lesson. That's something I definitely learned over the last 6 months, is that success is not final. Just because you've achieved it and you think you're on top of the world,
yeah,
man, the minute you think that, you will be brought down so quickly, right to your knees. But that's okay, because we get back up and we do it again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I would say the one thing that was our saving grace in this last, 6 months as we went through these roller coasters of emotions and things going on is having reserves, mm-hmm. right? Like, I gave our new company a loan to be able to continue to exist until we brought in enough deal flow, and now it's running and operating on its own again. But without those reserves, that would have been a very interesting and different month.
Yeah, I know.
So,
But that happened because you were prepared.
Exactly. Yep. I learned a time or two before. Yeah, man, I love it, dude. Well, hey, guys, thanks for tuning in on this week's Deal Deep Dive with Justin Martin, the acquisitions manager, the guy locking up all the deals. Love you, bro. Got a lot of appreciation for you. One thing I want to do on this episode is I want to, Justin, you had talked about our acquisition sheet, where basically as long as you know your ARV and your rehab, the rest of it will calculate it for you on what you should be offering at. Mm-hmm. I want to give that away for free to you guys. I really appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate you guys tuning in week after week, and I hope these shows are giving you value. But we'll go ahead and link it to the website. And if as long as you guys put your email in, mm-hmm. and just type in that you want it's called the Is It A Deal Sheet. So if you put your email in, put in the comment section or the notes that you want the Is It A Deal Sheet, we'll go ahead and get that sent out to you guys. And all you got to do is drop your email. Alrighty. Appreciate you jumping on this episode, Justin.
Thanks for having me, man. Excited for the next one.
Yeah, no problem, brother. All right. Peace out, guys.
All right. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode, you guys. For more awesome real estate content, you can check out my Instagram. It's just NoahEvans_real estate. It'll also be in the show notes. If you want to reach out to the guest, their contact information and websites and however else to get a hold of them will also be in the show notes. All of our podcast episodes get thrown up to YouTube. And for more awesome exclusive content, please go check out the website. We'll have that link in the show notes below as well. All right. Peace.